Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Our topic today is charter schools in the Anchorage School District. We got here because 2 weeks ago, my co-host Charles Wolforth and I entertained listener ideas for Hometown Alaska. It was a gratifying experience. We had great input that lasted a full hour. Charles and I took lots of notes and saved your emails. One idea came from an Anchorage mom who requested a full discussion on Anchorage charter schools. Her email made it clear that she's a mom in the know. She has 3 graduates of the Anchorage School District, all finishing at different high schools. Now she has a middle schooler that she's thinking about. She's very tuned in to matching her child with opportunities the district offers. So in response, we've got 3 guests today, 2 principals of very different charter schools, and a district liaison with charter schools, but who also has a long career in education that included being principals of neighborhood schools, so he can really speak to the full spectrum. So on today's Hometown Alaska, you'll get some context for charter schools. What makes them different? Can we afford them in this difficult budget cycle? How are they different from the district's alternative programs like Open Optional, ABC, or Stellar? When looking at options, what should parents think about? Are school visits okay? And what ways can parents get more familiar with the opportunities and offerings at the school district? So you'll learn all that and more today. Our panel of guests include Shauna Mall from Winterberry Charter School, the principal. Welcome, Shauna.
Thanks.
Very, very happy to have you here today.
Yeah, very nice to be here.
We also have Michael Shapiro, who is principal of the Highland Tech Charter School. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
Really happy to have you both. By the way, I mean, you'd be in school now, right? You got out? Or I don't know. You have an early release, Michael, so yeah.
We got a note from our parents.
You got You have an excused absence. And then we also have Michael Vincek, district liaison and director of charter schools and alternative schools in the Anchorage School District. Did I say your last name right?
You said my last name right. You didn't say my first name. It's Daryl Vincek.
Oh, I wrote down Michael. Okay.
But I'll respond to either.
Hey, you. Right. So there we go. Thank you, Daryl. And then, of course, our listeners are part of the show, and we really invite your questions. We invite you, if you've been to a charter school and you want to tell us about it, or you have questions, that's all really game, and we'd love to hear from you. So let me throw out the phone numbers for you. In Anchorage, please call us at 550-8433. Statewide, and you might get a call from Fairbanks, who knows, 1-888-353-5752. And we also welcome your email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So we do have an email, but first I want to kind of a little bit more fully introduce you. I just think it's fun to know who's talking and to get to hear your voice a little bit. So, Shauna, let's start with you. Your bio was on the Winterberry site, and among the things that I really liked is you're Alaska-born.
Yep.
That you worked on the slope.
Yeah, heavy equipment operator.
Yeah, so it's such an Alaskan experience. And just in a sentence or two, how did you get to charter school principal?
I was an educator high school, and then I had children, and I was really looking for something for my own kids. I had very artistic kids, and so Waldorf education really spoke to me as a mom.
And you have a degree in art, I think, right?
I do.
So it all sort of, it was a path that you got on when you had your kids.
Correct.
So, and I'm going to jump over to Michael. And you're a newcomer to Alaska, relatively, but not a newcomer to education. I loved this quote on your bio, "Learning occurs when each student sees him or herself as his or her own best teacher." So I thought I'd invite you to mention something about that and tell us, how did you get to Alaska?
Well, that quote is sort of linked to my journey to Alaska. In my previous position, I've come from the Chicago area, where I was an educator for 18 years. And in my last couple of years down there, I was doing a lot of learning about standards-based education. And that sort of led me to Highland Tech. And it was that job specifically that brought me all the way up here.
Can you just say why? Did you turn your back on standards-based education?
Or? No. I was learning a lot about standards-based education and what passes for standards-based education in many schools and districts, and as well as standards-based education, standards-based reporting. So how do we communicate how kids are doing based on the standards as opposed to an A, a B, a mm-hmm. C? What does a B mean? Mm-hmm. And by chance, I learned a little bit about Highland Tech. That's a member of the Reinventing Schools Coalition, which is a standards-based, mastery-based learning approach, and it just fascinated me.
Ah, so that's very interesting. So that's good. And I think I know we had incoming information from listeners about jargon. And so let's try really hard not to. It's hard.
Yes.
It's really hard. But if I hear it, I will say, hey, help me with that, because I don't have an education background. So maybe I can stand in for the listeners that way. But let's go to Daryl, not Michael, but Daryl. You, I know, have a long career in the Anchorage School District. Am I right?
That's correct.
And you told us before the show that you married a Nomite.
Yes, my wonderful wife, Julie, was born and raised in Nome, Alaska. Went to Nome Belt Elementary.
Yeah. And she's a teacher now, too, right?
She's a counselor at the King Career Center.
Okay.
Yep.
So you've been a lot of different things in the district. Now you have a new job, which, can you tell us what that is?
Sure. I am now the director of charter schools and alternative programs, and the position was created to help be a liaison for the charter schools and working through state statute, state code, district policy, being kind of a mouthpiece and helping coordinate various things for the charter schools, but also helping people that are looking at proposing a charter school work through the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I would like to begin our discussion with some definitions. Because you do hear alternative school, charter school, and there's maybe different versions of those things outside, you know, that. So how can we, and Daryl, I'm looking at you, but if you want to look at Shauna, she'll know she has to answer. Well, let's talk about the definitions.
Sure. And I can touch on a little bit of it, and then folks can help me out. But we have our neighborhood schools, and those are the schools that reside within your neighborhoods where families can, they live in those attendance areas, and they can attend those schools. Then we have alternative programs. The district actually has 35 different alternative programs, including the King Career Center, Bowman Open Optional Program.
Stellar
is an alternative program as well, yes.
Would the schools within a school at East?
Those are alternative programs. Our language immersion programs are alternative programs.
Russian immersion, Spanish mm-hmm. immersion,
so
Japanese
those are
immersion.
All, those are all other choices within our school district. So our mm-hmm. neighborhood programs are alternative programs. And then we also have the charter schools, which are through the Alaska Charter School Act, people can propose a charter school. And charter schools are a little different in that they are run by an APC, which stands for Academic Policy Committee.
Which is sort of the stand-in for...
It's like a board. It's a board that oversees the charter schools. So the charter... The proposers of a charter school write the charter, and the APC oversees the charter and makes sure that things are going the way it should, and they hire the principals as well.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's challenging. I'm going to take a call because we did get a caller. I'm going to welcome Lauren to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Lauren.
Hi. You know, I don't want to be a downer, but one thing is I would have loved for my son to go to a charter school, but I'm disabled and I've had to deal with a lot of surgeries, and I'm not able to drive him, and I don't have a boyfriend or husband that could do it. And I really think it would be really nice if you guys could figure out a transportation fix so more kids could participate in neighborhood school. He just started going to King Career Center because they provide busing from East, from the high school.
Oh,
so high school. I don't know about other charter schools, but I do know I really wanted him, when he was little, to go to Winterbury, and I just couldn't be consistent in getting him there.
Well, Lauren, I think that's a common question. We came in from the parent who sort of launched us on this program, the pros and cons, and one of the things that she mentioned was the driving. Okay, I'm going to turn to these principals and to the liaison. This is a question you get all the time. Have you attempted anything? Are there thoughts, or is it just we cannot do that? We cannot even go down that road to think of it. Or are there ways that parents can, you know, have there been ways that parents connect and help each other? Mm-hmm. Shauna, you're shaking your head.
Yeah.
How about a little bit from you?
Sure.
Winterbury School.
Yeah. You know, it's come up a lot, even at the district level, where even working just initially with optional programs. I mean, it is a real concern. It's something that we value. It's just trying to figure out how to take limited resources and pay for something very expensive, which is travel, transportation. At our school, over time, it was very difficult when we first became a school. Mm-hmm. Our parents really saw that need, and they've taken up on their own carpooling cooperatives and things like that. But it really is something that is very challenging for your average.
Do people have ways of finding out who lives where? Like, is that facilitated by the school at all? Like, so you can figure out who's in your neighborhood that you might be able to pick up, or they could pick you up?
Yeah, our parents do that now, for mm-hmm. sure. And, you know, we serve K through 8 is our population. So I think when you have a charter school that's at, or an optional program that's at the high school level, you're more likely to have somebody, a sibling to drive you to school or something like that. But, yeah, that's what we've done at our school. But it still is a challenge, you know. And it's I definitely know that the Anchorage School District is interested in continuing the conversation, for sure.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Michael? Do you deal with a different population in any way that addresses this issue?
I would agree with a lot with what Shauna says. I think the district's aware of this as a growing concern and is trying to work with us to make it happen. As a secondary school, 6th through 12th grade, our students have a little more independence. So many of them are willing to take public transportation across town to get to us. We also try to facilitate connecting parents with other parents to carpool and things like that. But it's an ongoing challenge.
Yeah, it's hard. There's not a silver bullet there. Mm-hmm. How about you, Daryl? Anything to jump in there?
Well, and I know I was the principal of Bowman Elementary with Bowman Open Optional, and I was also the supervisor of secondary special ed for some time. And our school district geographically is huge, and with 35 different alternative programs and 9 charter schools, soon to be 10 with a stream coming online, the transportation is just enormous. And just providing transportation for students who live within the neighborhoods and then for students with disabilities is tremendous, and it's a tremendous scheduling feat. I believe King Career Center is the only alternative program that does provide transportation and
from
all the Big 8 high schools, the mm-hmm. Buses mm-hmm. Provide transportation to students to attend KCC.
So it's identified as an issue. You're working on it. There's not an easy answer. So I know the woman who called us originally about this said she dealt with the driving, but she noticed in the summer her children didn't know the neighborhood mm-hmm. kids. But then again, they worked on that. And she found out that there were some families within bicycle distance of her kids. And so they continued their connection in the summer. But she said it's hard. She felt it too.
When my oldest was in kindergarten, I was principal of Russian Jack, and I wanted my children to be with me. So my oldest was with me at Russian Jack. And my wife and I made the decision the following year to put her at our neighborhood school, which happened to be Bowman. And we noticed that first year, kids were coming out of the woodwork that we didn't realize lived in our neighborhood. So it is one of the downfalls of not attending your neighborhood mm-hmm. school. You're not as likely to network out into the community mm-hmm. with other children.
Yeah. You know, my own background, my parents sent me to Catholic school, so we were always not in our neighborhood. I think that was part of their plan. You know, if you're not around with all the other kids, you're going to be in less trouble. So I just grew up that way. And when my daughter was ready to go to school, we did the open optional lottery, and we ended up getting Bowman, and we're way near the airport. And we drove that. I mean, you know, I and my colleagues that I had at work were saying, "Oh, you can't abandon your neighborhood school." You know, and I understand that. I also think, gosh, when you have a kid, you want to do everything for that kid. You want to give them all the opportunities. And I looked at the Anchorage School District and I thought, well, this sounds really interesting. And I think I told you this, Daryl. My daughter said, I had to go to optional school because you went to Catholic school. So, I mean, I think there's something in parents that wants the best for their kid, or maybe they've been in a traditional program and they realize that doesn't work. What I want to get at is how compare. I know you cannot address the question, is Winterberry good for my school if someone calls us, or is Highland Tech good? But can you help parents think about their child and then how to assess what's available and fit? Is there a way to talk about that when you don't have a particular kid in mind?
I mean, for me, it's know your child, know who your child is. I mean, we have people who come to our school whose neighborhood schools are highly sought after optional programs who, for whatever reason, their child doesn't fit in that mold. Mm-hmm. I mean, my own neighborhood school is Denali Elementary. I have one child who did fabulous there and the other child who does fabulous at Winterberry. Mm-hmm. So I feel like knowing what kind of learner your child is, if they are artistic and do things kinesthetically, find a program that does that. If they learn in a different way, find a program that meets that need. And always, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway is you just can't go wrong anywhere in Anchorage. Your neighborhood school, optional programs, charter schools. I mean, we have such an amazing school district full of options that are really open to anybody. Every mm-hmm. school is a school of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not what's better, you know, for every child. It's what's the best fit for your child.
So knowing your child and of course you can do research on the Anchorage School District website, because there's a lot of information about the charter schools. I didn't look at the alternative schools, but you can drill down mm-hmm. and look at assessments. And I actually want to get to the question of this richness in this climate, how can we afford it? But I'm going to go ahead and we have an email, so we'll just welcome a comment that came in. And here it is. Get ready. Somebody's got to answer this. For the last 6 years, we've had our kids enrolled in a language immersion charter school. As parents who've worked hard to acquire second language fluency, we were thrilled for our kids to have this opportunity. However, last year it became clear to us that there were some real programmatic concerns that the school leadership did not address. So I guess, I don't know. Let me just, there's a bit more here. Are you guys familiar with this? Can you speak to it in a broad sense? And I'll keep reading and see if I get any triggers here.
Well, I would speak in a broad sense that just whenever there's a problem, speaking as a principal who just left being a principal after 18 years, whenever there's a problem, we always encourage parents to come right to the source and talk to building administration, talk to teachers if that's the case. And there's also all kinds of avenues of problem solving within the Anchorage School District.
It's my mistake. She goes on to explain, this year our three kids attended our neighborhood school, which has higher academic outcomes than the language immersion charter school they previously attended. We found that our kids are academically behind, but with the help of their teachers are making great strides toward catching up. I think the neighborhood schools are being sold short and actually offer more options, special ed, Ignite, band, computer, library, and produce better results than some charters. Unfortunately, until a family actually has a student attending a charter, it can be very difficult to ascertain the quality of the program and determine how well it will meet the needs of the student. As a parent who was pleasantly surprised by what our neighborhood school offers, I urge each parent to talk with the principal at their family's neighborhood school and find out what options are available. And she says, thank you for the attention to this topic. So I'm sorry, I didn't give you the full, it was a little bit like what fit works for you. And I do, you know, just thinking back to my own daughter, she went to Bowman, open optional, and actually ended up at Stellar, but was swimming at West and was going over to East for the AP courses. And she actually said her first year in college was easier than her last year in high school. And she said, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I think I would have been gone for a more traditional route for me, because I wanted to swim on the swim team. But it was emerging all through high school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we did give her the option of leaving, and she said, no, I'm going to stay here, finish up here, you know. So, go ahead.
I think it speaks to the point that Shauna raised earlier about knowing your child and their needs, not only as a learner, but as a person, mm-hmm. because each learning environment at its core, you hope, is going to be similar. It's going to be focused on children and their needs, helping them grow, taking them at the point they arrive, moving them forward, making them well-rounded people, not just intellectually, but social, emotionally, all of those things that you want for your child. And every program has its limitations. There are things that are very unique about each of the charters that make them different from each other, that make them different from the neighborhood schools. And I would hope that in most cases it wouldn't come out in that kind of
experience.
That match, you realize sooner rather than later if this is the right learning environment for your child.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that sort of that know thyself, know thy child is really key here. We did talk about how rich the offerings are, and that question I had, I want to get into, which is how do we afford this? Let me throw out the numbers one more time, 550-8433 in Anchorage, or you can send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And just to refresh, if you've just joined us, we're talking about charter schools in the Anchorage School District, and we have Sean Amal from Winterberry Charter School, Michael Shapiro from Highland Tech, and Daryl Vincek, a liaison between the school district and the charter schools. So that's what we're talking about today. We very much welcome your experience. If you've been a charter school parent or graduate, or you just have questions, this is we've got a great field of people here who can tackle your questions. So let's get to the funding. As somebody who just sees the sort of dreary headlines for the state and cutbacks and all kinds of stuff, are the charter schools and the alternative schools and all the various, you know, richness that we have in the school district, can they survive? Do they cost more? Help me think about that financially. I'm looking at Daryl. But
you're looking right at me.
And he's looking at the mic, right?
Yeah, staring off into space. Yeah. Well, and those questions are more probably appropriate for the chief academic officer. I can't speak to all that. I'm 4 whole months into my position. Mm-hmm. I do know from the work that I've done initially is that from what I see, the schools don't cost, they're not additionally funded. State funding does follow the students in the charter schools as well as the alternative programs. So I don't see the majority of these alternative programs or charter schools as costing additionally. It's another choice. It's an alternative for other parents seeking other options.
Mm-hmm. All right. And are there any savings? I mean, that's the other flip side. Are there any savings to having some of these? I mean, maybe there's the physical facility that you have a different facility arrangement for charter schools, right? You don't necessarily, the district does not build you a school.
Correct. So we have to find our own space. Nationally, that's a real challenge for charter schools. It's no exception here in Alaska and Anchorage.
Yeah.
I guess the one thing that having a charter school does is you get the whole bulk of your budget, right? And so then your parent board is responsible for figuring out how they want to spend that money. So mm-hmm. for instance, when we decided to have our own building, we chose to make a very small building, be, you know, really frugal about the way we chose to expand. So it's minimal classroom space, no large open spaces, which allowed us to staff our program to the maximum level. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about expanding it very slowly. Mm-hmm. Conversely, you could choose to make a gigantic building and put your program at risk. So, mm-hmm. There's a lot of freedom in having a charter school as far as not just financial freedom, but also curricular freedom. But there's a lot of responsibility that's mm-hmm. placed solely on a volunteer parent board. So it is a lot of, not only is it a lot of work, it's a lot of joy.
And the upside.
Yeah, there's a lot of ups and downs.
I would also add that there's also accountability.
Correct.
We're part of the Anchorage School District. Our teachers are members of the Anchorage School District Teachers Union. Our students take the state assessments that all students in the Anchorage School District take. So while there's a freedom in how we deliver our curriculum and instruction and our guiding philosophy, which is different from charter to charter, we're still under the umbrella of ASD, and we're still under the umbrella of local and state expectations in terms of student achievement.
Mm-hmm.
I would also add that there's also a transparency that's even at a higher level, where like tomorrow night, all of our Academic Policy Committee members, APCs, and principals will be attending a Open Meetings Act training that's mandatory every year. So our APCs and principals follow the same Open Meetings Act law that our Anchorage School Board follows. Mm-hmm. So we're very open and clear about when our meetings are and how our meetings are conducted.
Right. I'm going to welcome another caller on the show. Louis, welcome to Hometown Alaska's. Louis.
Hello.
Louis, sorry.
Yes, I've had some experience with the different charter schools, and would want to emphasize the deal of accountability that is necessary within them. I don't think we properly navigate how students perform after they leave the school and reintegrate into another school system.
Hello? Yes, I hear you, Lewis. And so, in other words, when they finish at that school and they go on to a higher level, or they
right.
just in,
yeah,
in that same...
We've dealt with Winterbury, and we're in its early beginnings, and have also dealt with Stellar Secondary and with Chugach Optional. But when a charter school often ends up with such a very different curriculum that they end up being way out of sync with the rest of the school system.
Okay.
Particularly in math with Winterbury.
Lewis, let's let our experts here give us some feedback on that. And I know we emphasize that they take the same testing. Are there the similar curriculum requirements, or can it, like you were saying, Shauna, there's a lot of freedom here, mm-hmm. but how do you handle math? I mean, you have an art emphasis at your school, but is math not a part of your curriculum? I don't know the answer. So.
Sure. Yeah, math is a part of our curriculum. Math in a Waldorf school is taught in a very different way, very experiential at first, and then it's integrated throughout the program so that when you exit from eighth grade, you've had a pretty solid foundation in pre-algebra, algebra, geometry. The one thing about the Waldorf curriculum is it's a spiraling curriculum that's really designed to be a full 8-year program. And that has not always been the case. And so, you know, it's definitely something that parents need to understand fully, commit to fully. And then beyond that, you know, when we began as a school, we had teachers who came in who had very little training, and this is a very training-specific program. Now, the majority of our teachers are completely certified as Waldorf teachers, so we find
yeah.
that is clear.
Made a big difference.
Yeah. yeah.
So, I mean, these things are evolutionary. They're, you know, sort of striking out on new territory because you have a different vision that you want to realize, but it's not overnight that it all happens.
Sure.
So, yeah. So
he makes a really good point, though. I mean, I think that, you know, beyond knowing your child, then also really knowing the program. And then when you get into a program, there was a question you had asked me about, you know, what happens when it's not working. It's to really know, wow, it's not working. And it's not necessarily a fault of any of parents, kids, school, but it's just not the right fit for that
clicking.
Particular learning.
Yeah, right.
And that learner.
I remember with my own daughter ending up sending her to Kumon Math sort of additionally. Mm-hmm. She had an amazing math teacher. I remember her coming home and saying, she said I could be a mathematician. You know, it's like, wow, okay. And then that teacher left. She went to the Benny Benson program. And the math, sort of the romance with math went away. And she began to say, I'm having... So I supplemented. I guess as a parent, I thought, okay, you need a little more help here. I don't know, you know, theories about math, but you need more practice, and let's do it over here. And actually, she was glad that we did. I mean, it built her confidence back up. So I guess parents have to respond, too, mm-hmm. to what they see. I'm going to take one more caller. I'd like to welcome Robin on Hometown Alaska. Hi, Robin.
Hi. Hi, sorry.
did you
really
fall off your chair?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. Thank you.
Great. Hi, I run the Alaska Botanical Garden, and we do different kinds of partnerships. Winterberry comes out every Wednesday. We do things with King Career Center, and I just wanted to make a comment and take it offline, and that's that there are a lot of different opportunities in Anchorage with different groups partnering with these kinds of schools, and I just wanted to hear other opportunities and let other people know kind of what sorts of things you guys do with partners.
Okay. So we did emphasize the creativity aspects of these charter schools. We actually need to take a little break, so we will take a little break and come right back and address this question. You've been listening to Shauna Maul, Michael Shapiro, and Daryl Vincek from charter school principals and a liaison from the school district. This is Hometown Alaska, and I'm Kathleen McCoy. Thank you.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. We've been having a very lively discussion here about charter schools. We got to this topic because we did an open program where we invited our listeners to tell us what they wanted to hear about. We had an Anchorage mom that said, I want a good discussion on charter schools. I'm looking at one for my son. How do I think about it? What are the pros and cons? And we've been kind of chipping away at all of those. We did have a caller just before our break, and I did want to come back to Robin's question, which was just, Anchorage is a really creative and interesting place, and she's from the Botanical Garden and apparently does partnerships. You know, she mentioned the King Career Center, and she wanted to hear a little bit more from maybe our principals. And you too, Daryl. I never want to keep you out because you've got lots of experience about these partnership questions and opportunities. Do you do it in the technology field, Michael?
Yes. Highland Tech is often a bit of a misnomer. It was really founded under this principle of personal mastery in students, but we do use a lot of technology. We are virtually a one-to-one learning environment for our students. And so...
And that means that are they doing a screen?
They have access. Students at our school have access to a screen at all times. It doesn't mean they're sitting in front of a screen from the moment they walk in the door to the moment they leave. But there's accessibility there.
Uh-huh.
And so we try to use a lot of blended learning where there's what you'd think of as a traditional classroom, teacher-led discussion and classwork, and then students working individually or in small groups using their technology. And in the past, we've partnered with Microsoft Partners in Learning.
So that's an example of an interesting...
Yeah, we're also doing some work with the Professional Learning Department at ASD on project-based learning, which is a real foundation of our charter. And that's really hands-on learning, really integrated learning, not isolated math or isolated language arts, but taking concepts and standards from disparate content areas and bringing
them
together.
Into the
exactly.
Project. Uh-huh. Okay, that's interesting. How about you, Shauna, over in Winterberry Park? Do you have a lot of these partnerships going on?
We do. We really, our first two primary school business partners, the first one was Fire Station 1, and it was really exciting downtown. They used to bring their ladder trucks and let us do our egg drops from the ladder, which is super exciting. And then
everybody loves a fireman.
Right. Yeah. Now I'm totally distracted.
Sorry.
No. then we built our building and ended up being able to partner with Criterion Construction and C5, as well as RIM Architects as our partners. And then when we started doing our landscaping, we now have American Landscaping and Ground Effects, and then Botanical Gardens. And the cool thing about having school business partners is not only what they give to you, but what you can give back to them. You know, we feed them every month. We celebrate them in our events. We invite them to come and be with children or, you know, be part of community events. And it just really connects our entire community with the community at large. And our students can look and say, wow, there are people who come into my school every day because they want to be here. And they work in the community and they, you know, provide things that help my life. And mm-hmm. wow, I can maybe do that someday. That mm-hmm. might be something that I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a really great opportunity.
And I mean, do they reach out to you or do you reach out to them or is it?
It can go both ways
uh-huh.
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, ours have just developed out of naturally occurring relationships.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can go either
way.
What did
architects do with you?
Well, RIM actually, when we were initially downtown, we were really trying to figure out where are we going to go. And so they had done a huge investigation into charter school housing in the city.
Yeah.
And so then they designed our building. They were hired, contracted mm-hmm. by Criterion mm-hmm. and C5 mm-hmm.
Interesting.
To build our building.
Interesting. Yeah. So let me throw out our numbers again and if folks joined us, it's, you know, Shauna Maul. You just heard Shauna talking from Winterberry School. We've got Michael Shapiro, from principal of Highland Tech, and Daryl Vincek, who's sort of the liaison from the school district with all these charter schools. And, you know, we're interested in your calls or experiences or questions at 550-8433-1888-353-5752 if you're around the state, or you can send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. You know, listening to you guys talk about the responsibility that's on parents, I just have to ask, are they ready for it? You know, it's a lot. And Michael, I think you're getting ready to answer.
Yeah.
So.
Anchorage School District is so unique in that we were talking about that before the show today, that almost every school in Anchorage is a school of choice through the lottery system. The charters are just another facet of that choice. So in that respect, I think it is a bit of a parental, I don't want to say burden, but you
responsibility.
You have to work at it a little bit. And hopefully with the optional programs, the alternative programs, and the charter programs, the schools are being transparent about what it is they do offer and those things that they don't offer. Yeah. I don't have a football team at Highland Tech.
Never will.
I really don't think we will. But we have what I think is a remarkable learning environment. That's not to say that East High School is not a remarkable learning environment with a football team. Mm-hmm. But it does take a little bit of work on the part of parents to figure out if the neighborhood school is not the right fit for my child, what might be? What might Winterberry or Highland Tech or Aquarian offer my child?
Mm-hmm. So in a way, I think about how everybody brings their own educational experience to the table. And I remember reading a story about how parents are afraid to go see the principal of their kid's school because whole principal thing comes back. And so, you know, you might have a generation that didn't have these options, and it can be challenging for them to basically get schooled up I accept that's hard, and I sort of made the leap to, it must be better if it's harder. We're going to do it. So I'm going to welcome Adam from Wasilla. Hi, Adam. You're on Hometown Alaska.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I was curious as to whether the charter schools had speech, occupational therapy, physical therapy, like RTI programs, what type of services they offer in that arena.
John? Yes, we do. Within the Anchorage School District, I only speak for our district. I mean, all services are provided within the district, but not at every school. So, for instance, Winterberry does have access to an OT, PT, speech. We have a special education teacher. We have an RTI teacher, and then all of our individual teachers, both our classroom teachers and our specialty teachers, work together in the response to instruction. Program that's RTI.
Thank you.
So we all work together as a community in educating students, and then if we would find that a child might need something in addition, that could bring a team to decide that Winterberry is not the least restrictive environment for that child.
Did that answer your question? Okay. How about from your perspective, Michael, Highland Tech?
I would agree. We have a full-time special education teacher. We have access to a school psychologist, OT, PT, speech therapist, but limited access to some of those services. It varies, I think, from charter to charter, the availability of some of the specialized services. Mm-hmm. And so if, as Shauna said, there's a student that has a deeper need for a more restrictive learning environment than we provide, then we might not be the right match. Mm-hmm. We try to meet the needs of all students. I think our special education teacher's caseload is probably very comparable to his colleagues across the district. And those kids can and do learn in our environment.
Mm-hmm. Is there a negotiation with the district on these kinds of assets or...
Well, part of that's written into the charter. Some of the charter schools, like our correspondence schools, don't provide service on site, like Shauna was mentioning. So those students would go off site. I know when I was the principal of Huffman Elementary, we would get kids in from certain schools that would get their speech or their occupational therapist or physical therapist at Huffman Elementary. So
it's one of those things that's juggled.
And not. There's no school in the Anchorage School District that offers a full continuum of support for all students. But again, then we have regional support as students require a more restrictive environment.
Yeah. We are getting calls and emails. Let me jump in and because we that's what we want to do is answer
for
people's
sure.
questions. We have an email saying, I have a child in a charter school here in Anchorage and other children in other schools. Just a comment. The thing that makes charter schools strong is the deep involvement of parents in things like school governance and curriculum decisions. Unfortunately, this is also the great weakness of charter schools. There can be a tendency for these involved and empowered parents to assume that they know what's best for their children, even when the trained, educated professionals know best. Striking the correct balance seems tricky, and to be honest, I'm not sure if any of the charter schools in ASD have figured it out. Well, there you go. Michael is wagging his finger.
Balance. That's the magic word, balance.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important to have a really engaged parent community. It's important to have a really engaged academic policy committee. But without ruffling any feathers, the teachers and the principal are trained educators.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody went to school. So everybody thinks
they
have a knowledge of the workings of a school.
Yeah.
But we have specialized training to operate and deliver curriculum to students. So I think it's important. I can only speak from my experience in just over a year. I have a board that is very willing to let me take care of the day-to-day operation of the school, oversee the curriculum, and sort of take that 1,000-foot view of what's going on at Highland Tech. I do everything I can to keep them involved in anything critical. Hopefully they're all listening right now because I told them we were going to be on today.
This is a message. Yeah.
But
do they get training? And actually, go ahead and answer. What kind of training does your parent board get?
It's our job. Like, it's the superintendent's job. It's the principal's job at a charter school to train the board. And that is a really complicated task, especially if you're coming in as a new principal who hardly knows their job. That was me 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But look at you today.
Right. And we've had our ups and downs. And I think one of the great things about our community is that we have a commitment to really holding a faithful image of who we are when we're at our best. And so I think that's the big, like the core of what we do. And I think any charter school, any public school, any school district that can keep that at their focus will mm-hmm. ultimately be successful.
And that's one of the things that I see as part of my purpose and
mission. I was
just
going to say, this sounds like your job.
Yeah, well, it is becoming my job. And it was very clear that with 9 different charter schools, soon to be 10, and 9 different APCs, boards, training is essential. So yeah. we've taken a tour at KCC with the principals. Tomorrow night, we do our Open Meetings Act training, and we expect all APC members and principals to be there. We are currently working with the Alaska Association of School Boards to, they've done trainings for boards before, how to be a functional board, how to be a contributing board. So we're, right now the principals and I are working at what would that training look like and how can we provide the best professional experience for those.
That's great.
And then woven into that, I'm setting up different trainings next month, October. We have our head of purchasing, Dave Whiting, and his team is going to talk to all the different APCs and the principals about just different purchasing requirements and pitfalls and ways to navigate the system. Managing a school lease, that's one of the things David's going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. So I see that as an ongoing need that the other thing that happens with our boards is they turn over. So we're constantly getting new people on the board. So how do we provide that training and how do we perpetuate that training?
Yeah. It's pretty challenging. Again, I mean, you could give it all over to the school district or you can, you know, and even there, you don't really want that. But you really take on a responsibility with a charter school. I actually want to take a call here. I'd like to welcome Don on Hometown Alaska. Hi, Don.
Hi. I just had a question about the charter schools and Common Core standards, whether they follow the same standard procedures as the regular schools do.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Short answer.
Yeah, sure. Yes. Yes, we do. And in fact, our school, Winterberry, belongs to the Alliance for Public Waldorf Education. And that organization just in the last 2 years has paid to align Waldorf curriculum to the Common Core. And so that's what we use and we've provided to the district.
We're also very strictly aligned to Common Core in all of the core areas.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, because we're standards-based, those are the standards we used.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and Commissioner Hanley and Superintendent Graff are very clear that charter schools are to follow all the procedures and policies that are in place with the Anchorage School District, unless they write the waiver into their charter. So even the curriculums are approved by the boards and overseen.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk, because people have said, how do I learn? One caller said, gee, I had a terrible experience at my neighborhood school. I wasn't invited in, and that's why I ended up in a charter school, because they were warm and welcoming. And we had this discussion before the show that the district has actually started something new, and I want to make sure we get that opportunity to talk about that on the show.
Sure.
So who wants to jump in there?
Visit our schools. we're going to have a verbal battle here.
Yes.
February.
Me first.
It was really super successful last year. And
that was the first year?
Yeah, first year last year. And it's typically Tuesdays in February at 9:30. And I guess I would say anybody who's had a bad experience connecting with your principal or your school, try again. I mean, everybody has a bad day. I have been to so many of my colleagues' schools and really experienced amazing things at the neighborhood school. So just give it another try.
I would echo that for sure. As a new principal in my second year in the district, that's something that I'm trying to do, is get out to the other middle schools, the other high schools, and say, when a child leaves Central and comes to Highland, or leaves Highland and goes to Central, what are they leaving and what are they going to?
Mm-hmm.
And I would echo what Shauna said, that they should try again, and that Visit Our Schools Month isn't just to visit the charters and the alternatives. It's meant for families
schools.
Even to visit
yeah.
their neighborhood schools.
Yeah. Now,
but please come visit the charters as well.
Yeah. And if I may, just I'd like to go back to the website and encourage listeners to go to the website. There's great links to all the elementary schools, all the secondary schools, all the alternative schools, in all the charter schools, so you can see what schools you would like to visit during Visit Our School Month in February.
Yeah. Now, if someone can't visit in February, is there still an option for them?
Our doors are always open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would say that's for every school.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it does require giving a call before, mm-hmm. you know, it's
yeah.
just
arranging.
Like, you'd like somebody to give you a call so you can vacuum your floor, or at least put the breakfast dishes away.
Comb your hair.
Well, schools are busy places, and you know, it's nice if a parent drops in and a principal can just drop what they're doing, but 9 times out of 10, they're very busy people. I went to see my wife at KCC just before I came over here, and she couldn't see me.
No time
she was,
for you.
Nope, the door was shut, and she was with a student, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, right.
So if parents do want to visit schools outside of that, of course, we encourage everybody to come in February, but call ahead.
Mm-hmm, call mm-hmm. ahead. Now, we have a message that is making me think we didn't do a good job. So everybody, you're going to shine now.
No.
What is the difference between a charter school and an optional school?
A charter school and an alternative school?
They said optional. So that's
well,
the language that's
yeah.
out there. It may
so,
not be right.
So there's neighborhood schools in yeah. our district. Those are our schools that reside in your neighborhood. Our alternative programs, 35 of them, which include the language immersion programs, those are typically district-generated. Our Montessori program, our open optional programs like Bowman, Stellar, King Career Center. Charter schools are founded by founders who propose a charter to the Anchorage School District. They are run, and so then it is approved by the Anchorage School District School Board,
mm-hmm.
which then goes to the State Department for final approval.
Mm-hmm.
Once that's approved, the charter school is run by its charter, its application,
that's what it means,
and its charter.
Charter.
Right. It has a charter that says how this school is going to operate. The APC, the Academic Policy Committee, oversees this charter, and they meet, some schools meet monthly, some schools meet twice monthly. So that's the big difference, is they are operating under a charter.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means practically is that each charter school, based on their enrollment, which is calculated in October, gets a certain budget, And within that budget, then all of their expenses need to be paid. So it's an operational budget, program budget that then pays things like your lease, where so the volunteer parents and the principal and the community that is a charter school is responsible for finding a home, an actual physical site, maintaining that physical site, then using that funding to pay for their teachers, pay for the curriculum, and do all of the whatever they choose to do as a school.
Mm-hmm. Field trips or, I don't know.
Field trips, whatever.
Snow removal.
Snow removal, which idea. Often Purchased is the principal's job.
And other duties as assigned.
Other duties assigned. Let me throw out our numbers here. If you've just tuned in, we have Shauna Mall from Winterbury School, Michael Shapiro from Highland Tech, and Daryl Vincek from the ASD. He's a liaison with the Charter Schools and Alternative Programs. And give us a call at 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752 statewide. Or send us an email. We've had some great emails today at hometown@alaskapublic.org.
I guess one other thing I wanted to add about that, charter schools nationally came as a kind of a vehicle for innovation so that you could take a chance on a small program to see if it was going to be able to be replicated in a larger district. So that would give even school districts an opportunity to say, is this going to work? And if it's going to work, can we fund it without risking, building an entire, $50 million building and trying to house it? So that's another thing that charter schools offer
states
and cities.
It's like a startup in a way, a little bit experimental, not really a startup.
Yeah,
but,
and then we have every charter school has an opportunity right now to apply to be an optional program if that's what we wanted to do, if we wanted to go through the process of being an alternative or optional program. You don't have to stay charter.
Okay. And that would mean you would fall under more directly
alternative programs. You would then have, a bonded building or be within another.
Is the physical structure one of the big differences?
Huge.
It's one of the big challenges, really.
Yeah. It gave me a giant bald spot in my head the first 3 years.
She aged in place. Listen, I'm going to welcome another caller on Hometown Alaska. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how you doing?
Just great. We'd love to hear your question.
Well, what's the minimum number of students? If somebody wanted to start up a charter school, what would be the minimum number of students and parents and stuff?
Good question. And I do want to update people on stream when we get around there, which is the 10th school. But go ahead, Daryl.
Right. There is no minimum. However, you have to have a certain number of students to pay your bills. So if you're proposing a charter with certain facets to it, you have to have a certain amount. And that's where our chief academic officer comes in and determines, well, you're saying you're going to do this, so you're going to need at least. It's been kind of the standard to say 75 students is a minimum, because by state regulations, which I don't have them all memorized yet, there's a breaking point between 75 and 74 students. So you actually get more state funding with 75 students versus 74. So, but will 75 students pay all the bills? Not necessarily. Yeah. So it's kind of the number that I'm looking at, that I keep seeing, I should say, not that I'm not the gatekeeper of that, is around 150. If I look statewide, most of the charter schools are around 250 and up. Nome actually has one at 60, and I'm not quite sure how they do that. But
you're not responsible for that.
Right.
It's a different
district. Again, what you got to keep in mind, Ron, is, when you are proposing a charter school, you've got to demonstrate a certain number of students, people willing to lottery into the program, and know that every student that comes to your school generates a certain dollar figure. And actually, part of the proposal process is the district will give you those numbers as what the per pupil allocation is, so you can help kind of determine what all your costs are going to be.
So, Ron, are you thinking of starting a charter school?
No, originally we had several of our children were qualified for the Spanish immersion out here in the valley. And then we were fortunate enough to have several preschoolers in the Beauty Program, which is a federally funded state.
Hey, Ron, we're having difficulty hearing you. I don't know if you need to get closer to your phone or.
I'm up here about
mile 120 on the bar.
That might explain it. Okay. And you're tuning into the charter school show. That is just amazing. That's great. Anyway,
so could I just talk a little bit about that, Ron? And maybe this would make a little bit of sense to you. Back when we started our school in 05, 06, it was very, very clear 150 was the number. If you didn't have 150, your funding got cut in half. Then House Bill 278 was passed a couple of years ago, and that allowed them, but really anything under 150, you get half the funding. And just speaking from experience, it's not enough to run a viable program.
So we may have lost Ron. He pulled one more mile farther away, and we've lost him. But anyway, thank you. That was good. I appreciate it. I thought about the fact that you guys sort of serve at the pleasure of your board, and I wondered what kind of stress that puts you under. Or is it different? You know, and Daryl, would you think that would be different from, say, being a principal of a neighborhood school where I'm not sure who you serve at the pleasure of when you're at the neighborhood school principal?
I'll let these guys answer first.
I guess we're servants of many masters, you know, in that mm-hmm. regard. Yes, the board is our evaluative body, similar to the way the ASD board evaluates and hires the superintendent. But as district employees, we are also under the supervision both of Daryl and a supervisor in either elementary or secondary education at the district level. So it's, you know, your board hires you, but as Shauna talked about earlier, you're also responsible for cultivating your board and training your board. And if they're engaged, I think one of the things that has occurred to me is a board can get its information from a variety of sources. Some boards get their information only from the principal. But if you've got a board that's engaged, that's talking to teachers that are parents at the school and talking to their kids, then hopefully they're getting a full picture and hopefully everything's transparent. Mm-hmm. And there's no surprises for that board, and there's no surprises for you as principal being evaluated by that
clear
board.
Clear relationships mm-hmm. and direct communication. So, let's see. I wanted to ask you a physical fitness question, and we only have about a minute left. But I thought that's, you know, the American obesity issue and all that. Is that something you can tackle specifically at your charter school, or are there requirements from the district in terms of activity, physical activity, and fitness activities? Anybody want to jump on that?
We're outside all the time at Winterbury. We weather the weather, whatever the weather, whether we like it or not.
Oh, I see. She said that before.
Well, and I've come up from the, I don't know if it's still the only state, but for a time, Illinois was the only state in the union where PE was mandated every day. Uh-huh. So we get them moving. I mean, I'm trying to employ this thing that I want to call the all-school move, where we're all just doing laps around the school nice. At the same time mm-hmm. with the ASD employees who walk around the building. You see them in the parking lot mm-hmm, all the time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting problem because we've packed so much into the school district day, to the school day, that sometimes we can't get that part in. Well, you can hear the music.
Yes.
You guys have survived your hour. I want to thank Shauna Maul, principal of Winterbury Charter School, Michael Shapiro, principal of Highland Tech, and Daryl Vincek, the ASD director of charter schools. And thank you to our listeners. We had some very thoughtful questions. We didn't even get to all of them, but thank you for listening and dialing in. Next week on Hometown Alaska, I'll be back as your host. Our topic is broad. Where do legal issues in the Arctic intersect? To guide us through this discussion, we'll welcome attorneys Mara Kimmel and Betsy Baker. Mara's an APU professor of entrepreneurship. She focuses on land rights, governance, and human development in the Arctic and the subarctic. And Betsy Baker is from the University of Washington School of Law, working on resource development. And they've just been organizing a conference here in Fairbanks and Anchorage dealing with polar law. So that's our topic next week. Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org. Pat Yak is the chief content officer for Alaska Public Media. Dave Waldron was audio engineer today. Thanks for joining us. Thank you to our guests. And I'm Kathleen McCoy. This is Hometown Alaska.
A production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.